All right. Before we go further into our study of the Word, would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you that you are the author and finisher of our faith, that in your great wisdom and your great creativity, you have written a beautiful testimony in all of us. I pray, God, that today we may realize that this story that you're writing in our life is worth telling other people. That is, it is precious. It is worth being told many times over. Lord, would you just continue to help us to celebrate in the story that you're writing, not only in our individual lives, but in our lives as a community of God, and the work that you're doing here in CCC. We thank you, God, that you're not giving up on us and that the best chapters are yet to come. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, so just for this time in the summer, I just wanted to take a brief moment to, it all started actually, Garrett had talked about this idea of how great it would be if we could learn about some of the stories of people in our congregation. And it's interesting that the Chinatown community wants to do the same thing right now, too. So I think it's very serendipitous. But I really like the idea, and so what Garrett's doing right now in Adult Sunday School is he's tapped a couple of people who are of different age groups, and they're just sharing about their life stories, and there's going to be a little Q&A afterwards so you can get to know them. And what I've found in my short time at CCC is that everyone here has a very interesting story. Everyone is, no matter how young or how old you are, you all have very interesting stories, and we rarely get the time to know what they are. So it's great to have this very intentional time to just sit down and hear things and ask questions about that. So I really encourage people to do that. And if you're interested in actually participating in that, you can talk to Garrett as well, and he can set up a little time slot for you to do that. And from this idea, I realized, you know, I don't think I've really taught specifically on the importance of sharing stories. And, you know, I feel like in many churches nowadays, storytelling is not that important. And what I really want to suggest today in the message is that sharing the stories of our lives is absolutely fundamental to who we are as Christians. There is great power in sharing the stories of our lives. And, you know, I think a lot of what is going wrong with the world today, there's many things. But one of the big things is that we've become increasingly an information-oriented society. And what I mean by that is that we're so enamored by facts, statistics, details, experimental like data, that we really lost the value of story. And a lot of that, I mean, now I'm going to put on my little sociological history hat. You know, a lot of it came with the Enlightenment period. We began to think like, oh, things like story, spirituality, those things are just so immaterial. You know, they don't have a lot of value. You know, give me hard, cold data and facts. But, you know, we're living in a generation which is actually postmodern, but the postmodern generation came in and said, you know what, that fact stuff, you know, all that scientific discovery, it's all kind of, that's not more true. And, you know, some of us grew up in school thinking like, you know, hard data is truth, right? But people discovered that, you know, data is just data. What's really important, you need to ask yourself, who's driving the data behind there? You know, who's pulling the strings behind the data? Who's doing the research? Because I can do some research and this other guy can do research and we can just kind of skew it our own way. You don't need to look too far in today's modern politics. You see this all the time in both sides, left and right. You know, we have statistics, but statistics in themselves are never neutral. And what is it that really gives truth and substance to us in this new generation? In this new generation, many people are very skeptical of authorities who come from above and say, look, just do what I tell you because this is the truth. You know, a lot of churches are dying out nowadays because a lot of the preaching comes from a very information-oriented kind of perspective. You know, I went to seminary. I have all this, like, information stuffed in my head. I have all these historical facts. And, you know, it just doesn't give life. It doesn't further faith. There are many people nowadays who know many things about the Bible, but they treat it much more like trivia, and it leads to no life transformation. And why is that? Because data in itself does not transform lives. You know what transforms lives? It's stories that transform lives. Within stories, there's lots of data. Or data. I don't know what you guys say. But there's a lot of things in that. But you see, what makes them come alive is that it's inside of a story. Many young people today are very skeptical of just facts. It's in actual stories where truth is demonstrated and experienced. You know, it's interesting if you look with a lot of young people. I know I'm dating myself a little bit by a year or two. But, you know, YouTube back in the day, maybe last year, was pretty popular. I think it's still popular, right, guys? I'm not out of touch, am I? YouTube is still popular, I think. And a lot of why that's popular is because what started happening is people started being able to, like, present a little video of themselves and their lives. And it, you know, the subject matter, let's be honest, was not very interesting, right? Hi, guys. I'm going outside. I'm going inside. I'm going to upload this to the internet so everyone can see. Wow, 500,000 hits. Why? I don't know. But it's because people like to see, you know, real-life people doing real-life things. You know, this reality television, it's terrible. Like, the content is just terrible. But why do people watch it? Because it's, like, real people, you know, real stories. And the thing is, we as Christians, this is a fundamental part of Christianity. And a fundamental part of the church, but we've lost that. And I want to just encourage us as a community and as individuals, as families, to come back to that spiritual discipline of sharing our stories. And that's why I turn our attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. What's going on here is, if you know the letters to the Corinthians, basically the first letter, it's a pretty tough letter. It's a, you know, a tough love letter, because what's going on in Corinth? Corinth is kind of this church that really thinks highly of themselves, you know. And Paul just has to go in there and be the tough dad. You know, he has to just lay down the boom and say, look, there's some things that are wrong. And you can imagine when you have a really strong letter like that, people turn around and say, who are you? Who do you think you are? You know? And so 2 Corinthians is kind of this letter talking about, look, I'm an apostle. I'm sent by God. I have this authority. I have a testimony just to show the reality of who I am. You see, he could have shown like theological teachings and stuff, but what does he do? He shares the story of his life in 2 Corinthians to show, look, I am qualified to do this. And that's where we start in 2 Corinthians. And he says, and he starts, you know, talking about praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And so what I want to do today is kind of start right here at 2 Corinthians. And I believe in this little passage that we read for the scripture reading kind of talks to us why sharing the stories of our lives is very important. And the first thing we see in verse 3, stories are important because they connect us. And what do I mean by that? I found it really interesting that when I was reading 2 Corinthians 1:3, he says something very strong. He says, actually, praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's something I know. But he says something very interesting. He says, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And whenever I read that, that just blows my mind. Because I don't know who you are. I don't know what your background is. I don't even know if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. But this is what the scripture tells us, that all comfort comes from God. He is the Father of all comfort and compassion. If anyone here in this room has ever experienced compassion or comfort, it comes from God. James says a very similar bold thing. He says, every good and perfect gift comes from God above. And C.S. Lewis says this. Now, all of us, we're going to walk out of that, this church, and we're going to go outside where it's blistering hot, and we're all going to feel the effects of the sun. Now, the thing is, some of you might believe that there's a creator God or not, but the fact is we're all receiving the benefits of the creator God. We all receive the benefits of the sun. And so C.S. Lewis talks about this thing about, you know, the goal that we have as humans is to trace that sunbeam back to its source. Where does it come from? You know, all of us have experienced, you know, comfort and grace, unmerited love. But let me tell you, that just doesn't happen in the ether. It comes from a source. And how are you going to know the source unless you have stories that kind of begin to direct you and show you where it comes from? And that's what the Bible is all about. It's kind of like the fundamental story that tells you, this is where it comes from, folks. And this is the good news. When you share a story, there's this connection. Yesterday, we were in Rockville feeding some homeless in a shelter. And it was great. I had a great conversation with someone who is recovering from drug addiction. And he was just talking about, you know, he doesn't fully believe specifically in Jesus Christ, he told me, but he said, you know what, I got to believe that there's a higher power, because there's no way I could have got out of my addiction if it was just up to my own strength. And, you know, I just found that really powerful, you know, and so I just shared a bit about my story, my life, you know, and, you know, that day we didn't, like, he didn't totally walk away saying, like, oh, can I get baptized now? But it was an amazing moment, is that our story is connected. We both agreed that, you know, in this life, there's something bigger than both of us. And how did we discover that? Did I do it through this great philosophical abstract argument? No, I did it through hearing and listening to stories and sharing stories. It's through the stories that we discover we're all connected to God's comfort. And so if we don't share those stories, then Christianity looks like it's very irrelevant. It's disconnected from our everyday life. We need Christians who go out there and just share their story and show that, look, it's real. It connects us. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says. Praise be to God of all comfort. Look, if you're all comforted, then we're all connected somehow. Some of us might not fully understand the source of the sunbeam, but you can surely acknowledge that you're being touched by the sun. The second thing, as we look into 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you look at verse 4a, it says this. Praise God who comforts us in all our troubles. So the first thing that sharing stories does is it connects us. The second thing it does is it reminds us of the power of God in our life. And this is the other value of sharing our stories, is that there are many. I was just sharing with I'll go back a little bit. We have a cell group, as you know. We regularly meet at our house, and we had a great meeting on Thursday, and we got to just share a bit of our stories. And I got to share a story about what God had done in my life about 3 years ago, where he really answered a prayer. And I was just talking to Rhea this morning, just thinking like, wow, you know, I'm really glad I shared that, because I just remembered again how good God was in just answering that prayer. You know, this is the sad thing about living in this world. This world is a very forgetful world. If I could say one thing about the sinful nature, you know, is that it's a forgetful nature. And it tends to forget the blessings. It tends to forget where goodness comes from. And what it does is it constantly gets reminded of itself. You know, it keeps getting drawn back to self. And how do you break out of that selfish cycle? You remind yourselves of the story that God has written in your life. You know, I just want to say this to some people even here today. As I was preparing for this message, I think there are even some people who have come here to church today, this morning. You've come to church for a while, but lately, you know, your interest in God is not there. You know, you'd never say it out loud like that, but you're just wondering, like, you know, am I just going through the motions? Is this just kind of empty religion? You know, I want to say to you, a lot of what's going on is that you have forgotten the story that God has written in your life. You have forgotten that God has answered prayers, that God has done miraculous things in your life. You know, when I talked to my parents, I found this very interesting thing. I realized that, you know, miracles, everyone talks about miracles like it's this crazy thing that never happens to anyone, just a select really holy few. But let me tell you something. Miracles is not a thing that happens to a holy few. It happens to all of us, but it's just really like, are you open to seeing the miracles around you? Are you open to seeing what God is writing in your life? To see miracles is not about is it happening or not. It does, but it's more about what's your perspective? You know, one bishop, famous bishop in England, someone said, okay, I suppose you could argue that that it's a coincidence that when I pray, people are healed and that prayers are answered. But isn't it interesting how all these coincidences happen more often when I pray? You know? And he was just kind of teasing out this funny thing, is that you can say what you want, but it's really your perspective. And many of us forget the power of God in our life because we're not reminding ourselves of the story that he's done in us. Even right now, think about that one time where God had answered very mercifully a prayer to you, where he really delivered you. And at that moment, you just felt your faith was vibrant and alive. You wanted to change. You wanted to just live your life for God. That moment is not fake, but you've just conveniently let it go. When we tell the story of God again, it comes back into the foreground and becomes alive in our present. Testimony storytelling is so important because it connects us. It reminds us of the power of God in our life. And the third thing, it reveals the power of God in the lives of others. And this is very interesting. You know, Paul says, look, God comforts us in all our troubles. I don't know if you know about some churches, but they talk about this thing called like prosperity gospel. So basically, follow God because he's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you abundantly, richly. Great. And they just kind of leave it at that. But you know, that's not a good reading of scripture, because the fact is, yes, I do believe that God comforts you. God does bless you. But if you look at the biblical model of it, and you look at Abraham, yes, Abraham was blessed with many nations, but what was going on? Why was God blessing Abraham so much? So that he could bless others. So that nations could be blessed through the blessing of Abraham. Why does God bless you? You think he's just giving you a lot just so that you're just taken care of? No, he's giving you blessings so that you may bless others. And we see this chain reaction in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. God comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see that? I mean, this is God's intention. God is a God of blessing. He loves to share blessings. Why does he do that? Because he loves to see other people share the same blessing. You know, if God is this generous with his love, don't you think he'd be a little upset if we said, wow, thanks for the blessing, God. I'm just going to keep it to myself. God's like, that's not my nature. I love being generous. Why do you think I bless you so much? So be just as generous as I am, is what God is saying. You know, I know some people who have gone through great trauma, great pain, great brokenness, but God has healed them. And for what purpose? So that they just feel better? No, God has given them a ministry, so that they may go out unto others who are broken and who are going through similar struggles, so that they may give life and say, look, this is my story, how God pulled me out. From my story, you can tell God's going to pull you out too. A lot of my heart for teaching comes from a place because when I was growing up, I was always in a church where like a lot of people didn't speak English. Like we had no pastors. I didn't have a youth pastor for a long time. I didn't have children's pastors. It was just some like nice old lady with like, you know, those little sticky flannel board things. Just put it on there. That's Joseph, you know. And just it wasn't high quality education, Bible education, let me tell you. But growing up, I didn't have that. But then as I got older, God just really blessed me with a lot of great teachers. And I want to be a good teacher for others now. You know, and it's just that chain reaction of grace. You see, when I tell a story, the story is not just for me. The story is to be continued in others. We tell stories because they connect us. They remind us of the power of God in our life. They remind us of the power of God in other people's lives. And the last thing that I want to say is that it also gives us a confidence in the future. What do I mean by that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Paul says this when he's talking about the Corinth church. Our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Now, Paul is not like this kind of fortune teller. He's not saying that, look, you know, I can see in the future you're going to be comforted. No, why does he say that with such confidence? It's because he knows this. He says, if God has taken care of you so much up to now, why would he let you go now? Why would he let you go in the future? My parents always say this. When I'm like calling home, like crying for prayer and stuff like that, my mom was always telling me like, you know, Sam, God's taking care of you this far. Why do you think he's just going to drop you now? What is it about right now that makes it different? There's nothing about now. You know, John Piper writes this book about future grace. He says this belief in future grace, well, what does he mean by future grace? He says there is this, we need to, as Christians, just have this full confidence, this full joy in the future. Because we read in Hebrews, it says that, you know, why did Jesus Christ endure the cross? Why did he go through all that trouble? We read in Hebrews, he said he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Because he knew right around the corner, the Father was waiting there with open arms, with glory. And see, how does he know that? Because Jesus knew the stories of God. He knew, if you read in Hebrews, basically the writer of Hebrews before that, he just talked to the whole canon of Scripture. By faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did that. And why does he go through all that? Because he's saying, he's going through the entire story of the Bible to show that, look, this is the way God works. Look at his story. Look at the story of God. His story, right? History. Look at his story, God's story. You can see from beginning to end, we mess up a lot, but God does not mess up. God is faithful. God is faithful to some really creepy, lame people. God is faithful to some really bad people. God is faithful to some people with some lousy history. But he doesn't give up. And so we have full confidence in this future grace. That if God surely has done this with his story up till now, why would he change the whole plot line midway through? He doesn't. And we're not going to know that unless we know the full story of God. And this is where our pastor laments a little. We're in a generation that is so into like kind of picking out Bible verses, you know, out of its story and just like throwing them out like little bumper stickers, like little memorabilia, little sentimental notes. But remember, all of those verses are a part of a bigger story. And if you don't know that story of God, as many do in this current generation, you're not going to understand what God's story is for you today and for the future. Why do we have so much panic nowadays? Why do we have so much hysteria about, you know, God's provision? Why do we have so much fear about, you know, vision for the future? It's because we don't know the story of God. And if you read the story of God, it basically tells you this, is that God moves a little slower than you'd like, but he gets the job done, and he gets it done a lot better than you. So leave him alone, let him be God. You know? That was Sam's abridged version, okay? But you should really read through it, okay? But we don't know that unless we read through the whole story. And Paul talks about this chain reaction of what happens when you share the story of God in your life. And basically it goes like this, and I call it chain reaction because there's this kind of interesting, you can diagram maybe this verse later out of interest for some of you like to do that. And basically it starts with this. You see, we're in trouble. So God's grace comes in, and then it leads to comfort us. When we're comforted, we comfort others, and then when those others are comforted, they comfort others. You see that chain reaction of grace? God's grace comes in, then we're comforted, we comfort others, then they go off to comfort others. And that's what Paul's talking about. What happens? When God answers prayer, there's a response of praise and thanksgiving. Then when other people hear that prayer is answered, wow, we give thanks and praise and thanksgiving. And then we think like, wow, this prayer stuff really works. So then we begin to ask for more grace because we see that God works. And then there's more praise. And then more people are praising because more prayers are answered. And then you just get this ever-ascending cycle of praise. You know, what's really exciting is that, you know, the Friday prayer meeting has been going on now for more than a year, right, guys? Yeah, a year and a half, I'd say. Yeah? Is that year and 1 month? Is that, or 1 year? Okay, 1 year. All right, I'm just a little ambitious. Okay, you know. Okay, it's been going for a year. But you know what's great is that now that we've been doing it consistently weekly for a year, is that we can now start to see trends, right? I mean, we can begin to see like, oh, wow, we prayed for that, and it was answered. You know, we keep praying for the same things. We've been praying, you know, for that sanctuary, you know, through the whole time through. We've been praying for people who are ill. We were praying for certain needs, and we're beginning to see breakthroughs in prayer because we just kept to it. And, you know, when people begin to share now in the group that there's answer to prayers, it just encourages our confidence that, you know, we're not wasting our time here on these Friday nights. God is doing something with this offering of prayer. as we seek His grace, as we're comforted by His grace, we share His grace, it multiplies. Now, let me show you the opposite of that. Have you ever thought about this, though? Let's say someone is hurting. No one asks for prayer. So no one asks for prayer, so no prayer is answered. So no prayer is answered, so there's no testimony. So does anyone want to pray now because there's no testimony? No, because it looks like nothing's happening. So what happens after that? It's the exact opposite. It's just this spiral of less and less faith. We're living in a time that is unique in history because many are asking this question that was never asked before. Is God real? And much of our disbelief has come because we're in a world that doesn't want to talk about testimonies, doesn't want to share their stories. So if we're not hearing the stories of God, why should we go to Him for comfort? Why should we go to Him for prayer? And if I'm not going to Him for prayer, why am I not getting my answers prayed? My prayers answered? It's because I'm not asking. James says that. Why? Well, you guys are complaining to God that you don't get answered prayer? It's because you're not praying. It's not complicated. And then you're kind of in this constant funk. Some of you here today are saying, like, you know, I don't see the presence of God in my life. Well, have you actually sought it? Have you asked for it? And why are you blaming it on God when the thing is actually not the problem with God, but perhaps your perspective? Go ahead, try Him out. You know, it's not my reputation on the line. It's God's reputation on the line. We see that God's glory will not be given to another. He's more concerned about His glory than I'm even concerned about it. But we kind of like, oh, I don't want to bother God because, you know, I don't want to really put God's reputation on the line. But God loves that kind of stuff. He says, you know, try me out. I ask you to trust me. He says this constantly with the prophets. And if you open your ears, you will see in this community many people over many decades in very difficult times have put their full trust in the living God. And they have found that the living God gives living answers. I'll tell you, as a pastor, there are times when my faith falters too. The reality of God is dim at times in my life. But I only need to just stop and remember the stories of my family, of the community I live in, of my friends. And I remember and I'm given strength for this moment to say that God is here, God is alive. It is in storytelling that we remind and reaffirm the concrete reality of God's loving grace and mercy in our lives. You know, we're a culture that's now based more on information. You know, there was an article talking about no one really reads stories anymore because the way with, like, internet search and stuff, there's just so much data. We've learned to kind of skim. No one reads, like, a complete sentence anymore. We just kind of chop through the sentence and just pull out the words that we feel are relevant. And we just always, like, throw out data all the time. We're always editing out because there's just too much going on. And as a result, we never really stop to ask ourselves, what is the beginning of the story, the middle of the story, the end of the story? And we do that with great, there's a great cost at that, is that we don't know the full picture of what God is doing. You know, some of you maybe here today are really lost in direction. You're thinking, what is God doing with my life? Why am I here? God, I have no passion for you. You know, it's not about passion for the moment. The bigger thing is, what is God doing in His story? It's not about the crisis of the present moment, but how is this present moment playing a part in the bigger story that God is writing in your life? And so, just in closing, I want to ask you, you know, what are ways in which you can make safe places in your life and in this church, safe places to share the stories of God? I hope there's more time in CCC where we can just share what God is doing in our life. The second thing I want to ask you is maybe homework is to think, how can we encourage each other to notice that God is doing something in your life? Some days I'm kind of disappointed and I just need someone to come beside me and say, hey, you know, I know you think it's really terrible, but don't you see God is doing something right now? He's writing out something beautiful. We need that. I need that. We all need that. Let us return to the discipline of sharing our stories for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you would just start that chain reaction of grace in us again. Forgive us for the deadness of our hearts where we have forgotten your presence in our life. We ask, Lord, that you would remind us of your story that you have done in us. God, we pray that you continue to help us see that you have a beautiful, wonderful story written for CCC. Help us to do our part in making that story come about to its fruition. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.